welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello, beautiful people of Steelers Nation. Welcome to Summer Hat Tuesdays at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on YouTube.com/AllSteelersTalk. I'm your host, Noah Strackbein, joined always by my main man, Donnie Droon. Donnie, how you doing, my friend?
Noah, I'm great. It's another phenomenal Summer Hat Tuesday. I got the big party cup with a undisclosed beverage in it. We're talking Steelers football. I mean, where else would you rather be?
It's a beautiful time. It is a beautiful time. Make sure everybody goes on and subscribes to us on our YouTube page. Like this video. And as always, be a friend to tell a friend to go use our promo code for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Donnie, we got plenty to talk about. Moves around the NFL. Wide receiver market is exploding and seems to only be getting bigger. The Pittsburgh Steelers draft is still very wide open, including Kyle Hamilton coming in for a visit. What? And finally, the safety news surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers never seems to die off and only seems to get crazier and more intense by the day. Chances are we will be recording one of these whenever they do sign a safety, because that's how the Pittsburgh Steelers work. Anyways, let's start with some trades. The Philadelphia Eagles and the New Orleans Saints shook up the NFL, swapping 9 million picks, really, for the Saints just to move up two spots and the Eagles to move back to 18. The Saints now pick 16th and 19th in the first round. Meanwhile, Philly picks 18th. You're thinking, yeah, no big deal, whatever. Only the New Orleans Saints and possibly the Philadelphia Eagles are still in the market for a quarterback. The Steelers are obviously in the market for a quarterback, and we don't know where Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, etc. is going to go. What are your first thoughts on a little switcheroo here in the first round?
Yeah, I didn't think at first glance it really would have had any impact on the Steelers and what they might be trying to game plan for the upcoming draft. And really quick, this is a good tweet by the 33rd team. It's a really solid like football analysis website for the people that are really into that stuff. So the Eagles essentially traded the number 16th overall pick, and they moved back 43 spots at the end of the draft to move up one more spot, pick up another first, a future second, and a third rounder this year. I mean, if you're looking at like a winner or loser of the trade, the Eagles undoubtedly got the better end of the deal, whenever it comes to that.
No doubt.
Saints look like they're positioned themselves for a quarterback. Who that quarterback is remains to be seen, but I don't think they're confident on with anybody on the roster right now. They now have 16 and 19, which is ample ammunition to move up into the top 10 and go and get somebody. Whether or not it's going to be Pickett, whether or not it's going to be Willis, don't really know. But I mean, what do you think the chances of them staying there at 16 and 19 and just taking like BPA, you don't make that trade to just sit there after that, right? Like there's got to be more dominoes that fall.
So I was going to ask that question, because my thought is maybe you do sit there. And I think this is the underlying factor. Do you move up to go get a quarterback with Jameis Winston under contract for the next 2 years, or is this just to build around Jameis Winston and then maybe take a quarterback at 16 or 19? Because chances are whatever quarterback you want at 16 is still going to be there at 19 and just sit and wait. Here's another question.
Yep.
Do you think they take a chance on another guy that just looks extremely athletic, looks like he's got all the characteristics and is a leader, after their failed attempt at Taysom Hill?
We don't know where these teams are going to be drafting next year. And I think that the quarterback talent and the quarterback class in 2023 gets a lot of hype, and probably deservedly so, headlined by CJ Stroud and Bryce Young and everybody else. Preferably you would want to wait for one of those guys as opposed to really taking a big chance on like Willis or Pickett or Ridder or whoever it might be. When's the next time you're going to have two picks in the top 20? Like if you were ever going to try to move up and get a quarterback, if you're the New Orleans Saints, this is it. This is also the time. But to kind of play into the question you were going to ask me, just in terms of whether or not they should stay, Saints need receiver help. Oh, I don't think the Eagles are definitely not out of the market for a receiver. I also think positions such as offensive tackle and cornerback are very big probabilities to be taken, which definitely, you know, key positions the Steelers would love to add if a very talented player fell to them at pick number 20. I don't think the order or the players the Steelers were hoping to potentially fall changes at all. But I do think if the Steelers did want to potentially move up, did potentially want one of those top two quarterbacks, I think that got just a little bit tougher with this trade.
Yeah, me too. And that's a good thing to bring up because the Saints, they did lose a lot of pieces this offseason. I mean, they've signed every safety under the book, but besides that, they still need an offensive tackle. Armstrong is headed to Miami. They need some wide receivers, even with the future of Michael Thomas very much in the air. They got nobody behind them. There's a part of me that thinks that this trade is just getting a little overhyped with the quarterback, and people are like, oh, they're going to go get a quarterback. When my first thought with it was they have Jameis Winston. It's not a draft that's very filled with quarterbacks. I think that the Saints are thinking we could win now because the NFC is very weak, and we just need to fill our team with these first-round guys. Because you got to remember, there's a lot of talent. This draft is pretty stacked outside of quarterback. You could build a big team around it. And Jameis Winston's still young. It's not like it's Carson Wentz, where you're like, oh, 1 year, and then chances are he's gone. You're hoping that Jameis Winston turns into something. You didn't get – who are they going after? They didn't get Aaron Rodgers. They didn't get Russell Wilson. I don't know who else was on the market that they were going after. But Jameis seems like a guy that they have some expectations for. I don't know. I'm not totally sold on the quarterback thing. I'm really not.
So at least for the Saints, everybody seems to be thinking quarterback. The Eagles, it's kind of whatever. I thought it was really interesting because like they've been kind of lukewarm on their commitment to quarterback Jalen Hurts. And yep. Just looking at their draft ammo next year in that quarterback class that everybody seems to covet, they have two first-round picks, they have two second-round picks, and they have two third-round picks. Like,
They're going for a quarterback. They're easily going for a quarterback.
If you like what you see from Jalen, then you roll with him and you just build, hopefully, a very talented roster around him. But if you don't like Jalen and you got these star-studded quarterbacks coming out that you really think can, you know, potentially alter your franchise, you have plenty of ammunition to move up and go get them.
Plus, I think if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, and no offense to Jalen Hurts, I think he does have some talent. But if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, even if Jalen Hurts shows me he could be a starting quarterback this season, all I'm thinking is, yeah, we're getting rid of Jalen Hurts next season, and we're going to go get one of these quarterbacks because we have all the ammunition to go get one of these quarterbacks. The worst teams in the NFL right now, say the Detroit Lions draft a quarterback and the Atlanta Falcons draft a quarterback and the Carolina Panthers draft a quarterback. There's not going to be teams in those first two or three picks that are really quarterback hungry. Maybe the New York Giants, depending on where they are. But there's a lot of really bad teams right now that have a young quarterback, and there's going to be more of them. So I think the Philadelphia Eagles are in a prime spot to say, yo, let's just go get a quarterback next season. I don't think they impact the Steelers' quarterback situation or draft situation this year. I do think the Saints might. Let me steer this a little different direction, though. I think it was Todd McShay today said that Malik Willis is going to fall to Pittsburgh at 20. Desmond Ridder, I believe, is the second. No. I take that back. Desmond Ridder goes at the end of the first round to the Detroit Lions. And then Kenny Pickett goes sixth to Carolina. Do you think there's any realistic possibility that there's only one quarterback taken before Pittsburgh?
It really doesn't look like it. I was looking at this today. I mean, these are just a handful of teams that could potentially take a quarterback. You have the Lions picking at number two, who, I mean, let's be real. Now's the time to go get a quarterback, have him sit behind Jared Goff, you know, send Jared Goff on his happy way within a year or two and kind of move on from there. The Texans at number three. It doesn't really make sense for them to draft a quarterback, especially with what you saw from Davis Mills. But, I mean, like, you don't know exactly what you have out of him, and competition is always going to make everybody better. You have the Giants picking at 5 and 7. Daniel Jones to me is not the answer there.
I don't think they're going to go after a quarterback.
No, I don't either, but I still think the possibility is there for them to if they wanted to. The Panthers at six, and you know they're reportedly in love with Kenny Pickett, so yep. We'll definitely see how that goes. The Falcons at number eight is kind of like a sneaky team to watch whenever it comes to taking a quarterback. The Seahawks at number nine, which everybody's kind of pegging Malik Willis to, you know, go to.
See, I don't see that. A lot of people are talking about that. This is my thought on the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. If this was next year's draft, you draft a quarterback, okay? But it's not. The quarterback class is rather slim, and it's very question mark. There's a lot of questions. If you're the Seattle Seahawks, your team is not built to win now. It's not even close. You actually just gave away all your pieces to go win now, to say we're going to rebuild. If you're going to rebuild, why would you pick a quarterback that you're very uncertain is going to be good instead of just saying we'll rock it out with Drew Lock? Not great. And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit that's obvious tanking, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do and just say, next year we'll go get a quarterback. We'll use our picks this year to stack this team. I mean, just do what the Denver Broncos have done for the last 5 years and then plug in your quarterback just like they've done this year. That's my thought on Seattle. A lot of people don't agree with me there. I just think that makes too much sense.
No, it does, but like you also have to remember too, if they really like a guy like Malik Willis or even like Desmond Ridder, for example, or Kenny Pickett, if he happens to fall to pick number nine, if you like him, you're already there. You don't have to move up. You don't have to give up any draft capital or ammo to go up and get who you might think should be a potential franchise quarterback.
Yep.
I don't see anything wrong with that. As long as you believe in him and as long as everybody in the organization thinks that within a couple of years you'll be able to do something, because like, look at it like this. Do you know how we were talking about how Steeler fans would be just absolutely livid if they rolled Mason Rudolph out there next year?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same energy for me whenever it comes to the Seahawks. Like, imagine being a Seahawks fan, and, like, granted, like, their roster is not where the Steelers are at right now, but imagine, like, them being just okay with throwing Drew Lock out there next year. Like, it's not something you want to watch.
But who are you going to get? Okay. So I agree with that. I definitely do agree with that one. But Malik Willis, a lot of teams, including I believe the Steelers, don't have him pegged as a first-year starter. Desmond Ridder is definitely not a first-year starter. Yep. If you're not getting Kenny Pickett, is there any difference? Like, don't you have to somewhat just say Drew Lock is our starter either way, and that stinks, but that's the position that we're in?
At least for next year, yeah.
So that's what I mean. I get the publicity side of it.
Whenever you're drafting a quarterback, though, you're not only drafting them for the rookie year. Like, you are drafting them depending on what you anticipate them on being. I mean, Josh Allen, for example, like his development, his first couple of years was night and day different from where he's at right now. And so,
true, very true.
Like, you do have to give these guys some time. And obviously, like, the NFL is such like a win now league, especially with the pressure that comes with, you know, these rookie quarterbacks coming into a terrible franchise and trying to turn around in the snap of a finger. I don't think any of those guys are like per se at this draft. I think you're probably better off waiting until next year, which I think is the line of thought that both you and I share. But I also, at the same time, I don't think that should discourage you from liking a quarterback if you like what he brings to the table.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. That's just my thought there on the whole. Maybe the Seahawks hype is just a little too high, and when, because you have to, you know, there's a part of us that are talking as people outside the organization, a large part of us. And sometimes when you bring it back into the actual conversation of the Steelers, I mean, we could go on and on and on, and we're going to jump into things like the wide receiver market. There's a bunch of comments right now about the wide receiver market, and we have to divide our thoughts from what a team is actually thinking. And, you know, sometimes teams think like, I get what we're doing looks really bad, but it's what we got to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think an 80-year-old Pete Carroll wants to think that way, but I do think that. Let's transition here into the Steelers wide receiver market, because outside of that first trade, which could alter the Steelers quarterback pick in the first round, there's been like 10 rumors of different wide receivers going everywhere. The Steelers obviously need wide receivers. Now there's talk of, hey, we should get rid of Deontay Johnson before we pay him. A million different sides of a conversation. So yeah. Let's start here. Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with some DK Metcalf?
Let's start with Deontay. Let's start with Deontay. Let's work inside out from the organization.
Okay. So.
So first, on, first on, thing on here. One on one side of the coin, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers historically have drafted receivers very well. I mean, that is well. The number one argument against paying top receivers over and over again, especially a guy like Deontay, who now is almost a lock to get $20 million a year, thanks to guys like Christian Kirk, thanks to guys like Mike Williams. He's a lock to get $20 million a year, easy. On the other side of the coin, though, you're drafting a receiver and hoping he turns out as good as Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
I understand you scout receivers extremely well. I understand you develop receivers extremely well. But you have to remember, each pick is its own individual case. And you cannot determine or use past success from other guys in order to kind of shape and mold what you think is going to happen into the future. It's all dependent on the guy, what his skill set is, what they're capable of doing.
Okay, so here's my thing. First off, there's a lot of Phantom XM TV is going off in the comments right now about getting rid of Deontay. Okay, I have a couple of points here. One, Deontay Johnson is reportedly only asking for $15 million a year. Give him all the $15 million contracts you want to give him. With the wide receiver market the way it is right now, you give Deontay Johnson $15 million. I don't care what you say. Two, there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, the Steelers draft very well with wide receivers. They go get very good wide receivers. Chase Claypool has not turned out to be what Chase Claypool could, and I'm not saying that that is a turn of the times. I'm just saying that it is always a risk to draft a rookie. Always. I don't know if Sky Moore is going to be a superstar. I don't know if George Pickens is going to be a superstar. I don't know if Jameson Williams is going to be a superstar. We do not know that. Number three, Antonio Brown was not Antonio Brown until he signed his contract. Deontay Johnson is very, very good, but he's only getting better. I think that Deontay Johnson in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, might be one of the best wide receivers in football. I really do believe that. And you have to understand that he's playing in an offense that had no structure for the last 2 years. He's also was playing with a quarterback that was on the last leg of his entire career. He had no offensive line, so that means that Ben had to get the ball out of his hands quicker than any quarterback in the NFL. Most of the time, he was making plays on his own, and I get that he had some trouble at the end of the season, but I could look past that because he had a great year before that. Those are my thoughts with that one. Now, at the same time, do I think that the Steelers should go get a wide receiver? And there's names out here, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, D.K. Metcalf, 110%. Because you go get that third wide receiver, then you go draft that fourth wide receiver, and your wide receiver group's looking real good for a quarterback that you don't really know much about. But just to stick with the DK, with the DJ thing, my thought is not to get rid of him right now. I just don't see the upside in that. And what are you going to get? Say the Steelers traded Deontay Johnson. Are you getting a first-round pick for Deontay Johnson right now? Davante Adams went for the end of the first round.
Yeah, but like Davante is a established like top three receiver in the National Football League, but he's also like working against that. He's over the age of 30, isn't he?
Who?
Davante Adams.
I believe he is. He's about to be 30.
I don't know, because like DJ's still relatively young. You can still negotiate a contract with him if you're a team trading for him. So, you know, you can kind of like dictate your own financial terms of like what you want to do with him. I feel like the upside and the ceiling for him, like the potential is still like very, very high for him too. The only thing that would concern me is like the hands are sometimes inconsistent at like the worst times possible. And that's something that's been kind of proven I don't think it's proven.
I don't believe that argument. I don't. I really, really don't. Players drop the ball all the time. And I get that he shouldn't drop the ball where he is. And I get that he has had some mistakes. But the volume, I mean, the players drop footballs. That's just what happens.
No, I totally agree.
The fact that it came at the end of the season looked bad, I get that. But I don't think it was like it
looked bad because he let it become a problem. You could tell it was inside of his head. That's where the problem lies. It wasn't just like one like little like lapse of, oh, he took his eyes off of the ball. It wasn't, oh, hey, I saw this defender coming at me. I had to try to get down, just like slipped out of my hands. No, it was more than that. And I think that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, but you have to, I mean, 3 years into the league, entering your fourth season, now is the time where those drops end. You know, anything before then, if we're still okay with Chase Claypool being who Chase Claypool is, I'm okay with who Deontay Johnson is and feeling very good about where Deontay Johnson's headed. Not last season, but where he's headed. You know, I think that a lot of people are like, oh, Deontay Johnson has drop issues, get rid of him now. I'm like, well, Deontay Johnson has 3 drop issues a year in his 3rd season. In his 5th season, that means 0 drop issues all season long. I feel totally, totally fine with that. Plus, he fits Matt Canada's offense so, so well.
I do agree with Phantom in the comments right now that I don't think the trade market for Deontay Johnson is ever going to be as hot as it possibly could be right now, especially if he only wants $15 million a year. So I think if for whatever reason the Steelers were intent on trading him and trying to go get another established veteran or like somebody in the draft, now's got to be the time to do it, right? No. If you are going to do it.
I don't agree that it's the hottest it's ever going to be. I think he's entering his first contract. This is my thought on that. So there are names like DK Metcalf floating around, AJ Brown. I don't know how believable all these things are, but AJ Brown, Davante Adams went, Tyreek Hill went. Big name wide receivers are just getting shipped everywhere.
Yep.
Deontay Johnson is not on that same level. I mean, he is in the Steelers realm. You could trust him as much as you could trust these high end guys. You want him to be a wide receiver one. In 3 years, 4 years, when his next contract ends, he'll only be 27, 28 years old, still has plenty of football left in him. Chances are he's better than he is right now. He might be worth more. Yeah, you would hope.
Yep.
And the market, he will be that Tyreek Hill. He will be that Davante Adams. You know what I mean? I think that in 4 years in that next contract, that's when people are going to start thinking, oh, this guy could be worth a lot. And I don't think a wide receiver is ever worth a high-end first-round pick, but if you could get a low-end first-round pick for a guy, I feel very, very good entering his third contract.
You see, I would think the most appealing thing for a team is, like, you technically don't have to pay him for another, like, year or so, so you could try to squeeze one more cheap year out of Deontay before, like, it came to a long-term deal. But, like, if you're trading for Deontay Johnson and you're going to give up significant draft capital to go and get him, you're not going to let him walk, right? Like you are going to sign him to a long-term deal. But I think just like getting the bang for your buck, like having him for those couple years before he takes on the big contract and then, you know, having him run through the second contract when he's 27 or 28, like you said, I think that would be the one advantage for a team that wanted to trade for him right now.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. I think that there is trade value, very good trade value. I'm not disclaiming that. I just think that the trade value goes up when he's not mixed in. I think that he takes that next step in a couple of years. And that's a strong assumption, but I don't know. Like, I just think that he could. I mean, imagine if Antonio Brown never went postal, okay? And he stayed with the Pittsburgh Steelers and you traded him after that second contract. Now, granted, you would miss the greatest wide receiver in Steelers history for a number of years. But imagine what he would have been worth. Insane amount of wide receiver income. Insane amounts. And I just think that Deontay Johnson, I don't think he's going to be Antonio Brown. I just think that he's going to be worth that wide receiver one money, and I don't think he's going to. So why would you not pay him $15 million a year? You give him $15 million a year.
Easily.
All day long. All day long. If that's what he's asking. And remember, we talked about this on the show, is that his asking price was $15 million a year. At the time, it was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. You got to think about it. what's this, a month and a half later? And now it's the market's $30 million. So, you know, you want $15 million, you give them $15 million. Now, did the Steelers miss out? Maybe.
$15 million and all the Eaton Park cookies you could possibly imagine. And you let all him go on his way.
I would never take an Eaton Park cookie ever in my life. All right. There are some questions here about wide receivers that could be available. We'll start with good old DK Metcalf. Jeremy Fowler said that league executives believe he's available at the right price. Let me ask this. What do you believe the right price is for DK Metcalf?
First round pick, and I think that's where it starts, and I don't think the Steelers are intent on doing that.
No, but do you think there's more? Like, do you think it's like a first and a second? I think it could just honestly be a first and like a third and
a fourth, and move on. It might be like something like a first and like a fourth or fifth, and then like the other team sending back or like getting DK would also send like a fifth or like a sixth round pick to just to kind of like level like the picks out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. That doesn't strike me as a move the Steelers would do. I would love DK in Pittsburgh. I would love it. That dude is a thoroughbred horse that cannot be stopped whenever, you know, everything's clicking for him.
Yeah.
I think he would fit extremely well. I think the Steelers need somebody that can kind of take the top off of a defense. And I think he would be not the perfect answer, but I think he would
be the perfect answer. The DK Metcalf is so undervalued in Seattle. It's crazy. Like, I just don't understand how every year they're like, maybe.
The only thing with him is that he, like, his route tree, like, isn't super developed, but like straight and high. The three or four routes he runs extremely well. You can't stop.
What I'm saying. You just throw the ball up. If you have a Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, you just say, yeah, go get it, man. And he's going to go get it. He caught 12 touchdowns from Geno Smith. People seem to forget that. Geno Smith, like, that's a good year. That's an incredible year.
Yeah.
I think if I'm giving up, that's the only way I'm getting rid of Deontay Johnson is if you go and get DK Metcalf. Easy. T.Y. Hilton is a name that got tossed out here. I feel good about T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton scorched me in fantasy one too many times as a young boy. So I have like this weird vendetta against him. I think from like a veteran perspective, I think he would be very solid just to come in and kind of hopefully show guys like DJ and Claypool the ropes whenever it comes to, you know, being that guy as receiver at the next level. I think for the right price, I would certainly welcome it.
What do you think the price is right now for T.Y. Hilton? I think you could go get him for like a vet minimum pretty much. Like, go get him $2 million and say, come back.
It's going to be like higher than that. Like, or at least he's going to want to get paid higher than that.
Maybe. I don't know. Did he even play last season?
He did.
Barely, right? Like, it wasn't a lot.
I'm in the middle of watching the Hard Knocks Colts like episode they filmed through the middle of last year. Yeah, so.
Okay. Can't confirm he played. He's T.Y. Hilton, obviously, in all respect to T.Y. Hilton, but I don't think he's the name the Steelers are looking for. I think that there's other veteran options out there.
Can I throw up a name that I actually saw someone bring up in the chat? Why is nobody talking about Brandon Cooks? Uber productive. And like I don't think the cost to get him would be as much as like rumored guys like DK Metcalf or even like Terry McLaurin too.
I think so. I'm glad that you brought him up because I did lose this comment. Appreciate you still Wolverine. Brandon Cooks. There's a couple of things. Somebody told me one time, and this was somebody like legit, a source, whatever you want to call him, told me that teams just do not like Brandon Cooks. He is just a little toxic in the locker room. He talks a lot of smack. Blew my mind a little bit, right? But then it started making sense. Well, he has bounced around the NFL, and he's very good at football. It doesn't make any sense to me. At the same time, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you believe that Brandon Cooks isn't a toxic locker room man, makes no sense not to go get him. He fits perfectly. Fits perfectly for what the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to do. He's cheap. He's still young. I think that could be – that's a name that definitely should be tossed out there. There's another one in here as well. Good old D.D. Westbrook.
Bro, get D.D. Westbrook the entire you-know-what out of here.
Yeah, you're not a D.D. Westbrook guy?
No, I'm not a D.D. Westbrook guy.
All right, well, elaborate.
I just think if you're going to go out and get somebody, there's like the talent pool is like night and day better above D.D. Westbrook than it is below D.D. Westbrook.
Okay, but isn't he a wide receiver? Or isn't he a free agent?
D.D.?
I believe he's a free agent this offseason.
He might be. I've tried my hardest to forget about him after watching him play football.
Okay, but he didn't have a quarterback, so maybe with a quarterback he could do all right. I think he's a good slot option. I mean, the Steelers made something out of Ray-Ray McCloud last year.
Hey, shout out to Ray-Ray for getting paid, by the way. Good for him.
Paid.
Good for him.
I think DD's a name flying real under the radar. Maybe you could bring him in free agency like they did for a guy like Dante Moncrief back in the day, real cheap.
Dante Moncrief.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Just chilling there.
What a guy.
There's a couple more names out here.
I believe somebody threw out Terry McLaurin. Apparently Terry McLaurin, like teams are trying to like call and like inquire about him.
Yeah.
I would 1000% love McLaurin on the Steelers. I wouldn't love the price tag of what they would have to give up to get. I think it'd be lesser than what teams would have to pay to go get a guy like DK Metcalf. But I mean, Terry McLaurin, like opposite of Deontay Johnson, would be chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. But that's the thing. I think with a guy like that, like if you're going to go trade a guy, that's going to require a big contract. And I think that's why Brandon Cooks works, is because he's only getting paid $13 million right now. Is you're going to have to get rid of Deontay Johnson. Like you're not paying Terry McLaurin $22, $23 million a year and Deontay Johnson 15. That just doesn't happen. You could pay Brandon Cooks 13 and Deontay 15. That works totally fine. That might be a little out of the price range there. Julio Jones, Cole Beasley. We've talked about the Red Rock a couple of times here.
Yeah.
Hot
sauce with Cole Beasley. He wouldn't be a bad option in a slot, to be honest, especially if you're a big believer in chemistry. I mean, I'm sure Mitch Trubisky threw to him, you know, a decent amount of times from practice while he was in Buffalo. Take that for what it's worth. I don't think it's worth a whole lot. Julio, though, is interesting because obviously the talent is there. He just doesn't like play all that often. I really don't think he would be worth like the bang to the buck, you know?
No. I think that Julio Jones is still looking for Julio Jones money, and he's having a hard time admitting that he's not Julio Jones anymore. That happens to the best of them. It really does. But you're not bringing in Julio Jones expecting this receiver group to get any better, because Julio needs his touches. You don't care about your 34-year-old wide receiver touches. You want Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool to get their touches.
Yeah, bro. Julio hasn't played a full season since 2018, and he has missed
2019, according to good old Charlie Bronson.
According to Pro Football Reference, he played all 16 games in 2018. 2019, he played 15. 2020, he played 9. And then last year, he only played 10.
15 is a season, bro. 15 is a season. Charlie, appreciate you. Appreciate you. That's still, I mean, 2 years ago, yeah, no doubt. But the downfall, when you're that age, the downfall could be drastic, and you do have to take that into consideration. Jarvis Landry, this is one that gets brought up a lot.
Yeah.
$11, $12 million a year, not a chance. Not a chance. And I know that's what he is asking for, not a chance.
I agree, yeah. I mean, Jarvis is... I mean, he's been really good for Miami. He was pretty decent for Cleveland, all things considered. And when you look at the guy who's thrown him the football and type of offense they were in and all that good stuff, I just don't know if he's going to find himself with a Steelers uniform.
No. And he does fit, but no. If you're not going to go, so my thought there is you should have just re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster. And I get there was an offer on the table, but you should have just given him what he wanted. If your thoughts is to go get a real
strong
inside. I don't know. What did he get? What was his contract?
It was first reported as like a $10 million deal, but I think like
2 years, $10 million.
It ended up being like four or six, and like everything else was like incentive based, if I remember
correctly. Plus the Steelers still owe him $4 million. I don't know. I think he wanted $10 to $12 million a year. Do I think that he was worth that? Not a chance. Not a chance.
I think at the end of the day, like whenever it comes to adding a receiver to the roster, because they are, right? There's no running around the fact that they're going to get a new pass catcher on the depth chart this season. I know there's talented guys available via trade, but especially with how deep this incoming receivers classes, and it seems to get deeper and deeper each year, I would much rather them stick in the draft and try to get a guy they can develop. And a lot of people have pointed this out in the chat and in the comments as well. Just get the cheaper guy. You get the guy you feel like you can kind of mold and, like I said earlier, develop into what you think they can be. And just roll from there, man.
Roll from there. So that's a good question. The wide receiver class is deep, but everything runs dry eventually. Yep. Where can the Steelers, how far back can the Steelers push this draft before they got to start adding wide receivers to get at least one quality wide receiver? But chances are they need two.
To at least get one.
Yep.
And like, this is lowballing it. This is absolutely lowballing it. Day two at absolute worst. Like, if you walk out of the draft outside of the first three rounds without a receiver and, like, you didn't previously go get somebody, you're a lost cause.
You're a lost cause. I agree.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
There's still going to be names there. You could say all you want, but it's just like the safety argument. Like, oh, you got to jump on a safety. There's a lot of good safeties in this draft. You can only draft so many of the position before nobody needs that position anymore. The five safeties, six safeties before the Steelers pick in the second round will not happen. Six, seven wide receivers before the Steelers pick in the second round will not happen. It will not happen. You're still going to have guys like George Pickens. You're still going to have guys like Sky Moore. I think chances are Christian Watson is still going to be sitting there because Jameson Williams is going to slide a little bit. So is Chris Olave from what we hear, and Garrett Wilson apparently. I just think that you could get so much good talent in the second round. If you push it past that, you wait till the fourth. I think you waited too long. I think not having a third round pick really hurts.
No, I agree. But like, you're really leaving stuff up the chance too, whenever it comes to trying to walk outside of the first or second round without a top receiver, knowing you need somebody behind Claypool and behind Deontay.
Yeah, agreed. Now, you know, you could get a guy in the third and just say, hey, he is our third wide receiver. It's not huge. But I think at that point, you have to make that pick count. So it has to be somebody that plays in the slot, and it's got to be somebody that doesn't really need too much work. They might still need to develop, but they could play their position and run a smaller route tree pretty well. What about after that? What about where's your second wide receiver? Because right now the Pittsburgh Steelers have two wide receivers in Coddy White.
Yep.
It's not looking great. Unless
Anthony
you're
Miller,
considering,
don't forget him.
Yeah, but I don't want to include Anthony Miller because he wasn't good enough to surpass Coddy White. He also wasn't good enough. Remember when he posted the Instagram story when he posted when he didn't get called up after everybody expected him to get called up for a game, and he posted the meme on his Instagram.
I think so.
Yeah. So if he wasn't good enough to get called up over. I think it was like something Sims. I don't even know who the guy was. Then I'm not going to put him into that starting rotation yet or into that active roster yet. I think he's going to compete, but I don't know. I think right now they have two and a half max. Two and three quarters if you want to include Anthony Miller. Where's that fourth guy coming? How late can you push it back there?
Like, If you're really trying to put together like a quality guy, fourth round, especially like without you having a fifth round pick, like you can't sit there for an entire slate of picks and hope that like a somewhat talented receiver is going to be there after the fourth and fifth round. Like even if you go receiver on like day one and or day two, why not? You know.
Yeah, I think that a fourth-round guy, you're still looking at that top-tier talent. I will say, though, I think that there are names later in the draft. Khalil Shakur is definitely one of them. Yep. Danny Gray out of SMU is another one. Just like real speedster types. Bo Melton out of Rutgers is another one. He impressed me a lot at the Senior Bowl, actually. I think you can find like those guys that could play a backup role. My problem with it is I don't know how much you can rely on them in year one. You're going to have to rely really heavy on your first starting three and then hope that like Cody White or Anthony Miller, or you bring in somebody else. Maybe. I think Justin Roscoe is a little higher than people expect. And I do not like Justin Ross. I don't think Justin Ross is going to turn out to be anything crazy. A quick mock draft, man. We'll get one before the draft. Yeah. I don't think that you could get a guy super late in the draft, expect him to be a day one contributor as much as they need him to be. Now, let me ask this. Can you go three wide receivers in a draft? Or is that just overkill?
You could. I still feel like there's other positions you might want to like put the cement on before you go grab three receivers in a draft. Let's not act like the free agent pool is like going anywhere like after the draft too, by the way. I think like a best case scenario for the Steelers would be to grab like two receivers fairly high in the draft. And I'm thinking like your third receiver behind Deontay and Claypool gotta be in either like round one or round two, maybe round three. And then just like probably like another receiver on the third day of the draft.
Yeah, I agree. So what about these last two guys here? AJ Green, Sammy Watkins. You saw up close and personal what AJ Green could do last season.
It wasn't a whole lot after DeAndre Hopkins disappeared, TBH, which is kind of disappointing to see. I mean, there were flashes of what he could do. I do think a lot of his production came from Kyler Murray checking down balls and recognizing he was in one-on-one coverage, and AJ Green just using his big frame and the length to his advantage near the red zone. Sammy Watkins, I'm so up and down on him.
I know. I think if he's used well, he's really good. I think if he's not used well, what happened to Sammy Watkins? Like, what?
It really all depends on like how he feels that day.
That's exactly it. Does the scheme fit? Is the game plan absolutely perfect? I don't know. Last one here. Garrett Wilson at 20. Think it could happen?
No.
What about Chris Olave?
Olave probably could. I don't think he'll be there, though. I legitimately think probably five receivers are off of the board by the time the Steelers go.
Five? Name your five.
All right. Wilson. I think Wilson's gone. I think Olave's gone. I think Drake London will go. So that's three. I think Jameson Williams gets drafted in the top 20. And then like you might see a guy like Treylon Burks get drafted. Although I think he would be there for the Steelers if he like really, really kind of like is gonna go where he's supposed to go.
Yeah. Treylon Burks at one point was considered the top wide receiver in this draft. So
yeah,
he falls to 20. You got to think about some things.
All right, so I lied. I'll say like four receivers then.
Four receivers in top 20. Receivers. I could see that. Good old Travis Jones, Malik Willis. Love it. All right, let's talk some safeties. But before we do that, we got a little message here from our friends over at Manscaped. With the first pick in the NFL draft, Ball Saxonville has decided to pick Manscaped to stock up their D. Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have sponsored us to make sure you don't get booed out of the bedroom like Roger Goodell. Support us and head to manscaped.com and use the exclusive code ALLSTEELERS at checkout for 20% off plus free shipping. Donnie, I don't know about you, man, but I'm using that spray every day. I'm using lip balm every day. Obviously, I'm using the lawnmower every day. Me and the lady were, you know, We're on good terms right now. We are most certainly on good terms.
Do you know how I told you I couldn't figure out how to like unlock the like body wash and stuff?
Yeah.
It turns out on the cap, it tells you which direction to turn it and push it out. You just have to turn it 90 degrees, bro. 90 degrees.
Well, it's Donnie proof, so at least we know anybody can figure out how to open that. Everyone was asking why combined athletes ran the 40-yard dash so fast this year. Well, a big reason is because the Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer now serves over 4 million men worldwide. That's a lot of aerodynamic pants potatoes. Because of their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology, your nicks and snags will be reduced. After trimming, your package will look as big as what the Seahawks got in return for Russell Wilson. Rumor is Kenny Pickett got trimmed up with Manscaped and is now skyrocketing up the draft boards. Small hands who? I want you to look in the mirror. Do you see the nose and ear hairs dangling? Look, fellas, the ladies out there think that long nose hair is a major turnoff. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer is your solution. Why not use the best tools for the job here? Their performance package also comes with the anti-chafing performance boxer briefs, a travel bag, the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, which is a spray-on toner. They have also launched some other amazing hygiene products for men, ranging from cologne-infused body wash, two-in-one shampoo, and aloe-free deodorant. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS. Kalen Barnes definitely shaved some time off his 40. You want to know why? Because he used Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and just use the code ALLSTEELERS. It's time to find your diamond in the rough with Manscaped. All righty. Let's talk some safeties. First off, already in the comments. Stop. Kyle Hamilton.
Stop.
Phantom TV believes that he's going top 10.
He is.
Some believe he's sliding to 20.
He is not.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are bringing him in for a visit.
Good on him.
What is the hype around Kyle Hamilton? Is it overblown? Is there any possibility he makes his way out of the top 10?
Dude, not a chance. Like, if Mike Tomlin made the comment that Jordan Davis would be hugging the commissioner before the Steelers got the opportunity to draft him, Kyle Hamilton is going to be on a plane to whichever team takes him in the top seven. Not a shot.
But Jordan Davis ran a good 40. Kyle Hamilton did not. And that apparently ends everyone's draft.
Dude, we are at the point where it's a couple weeks out from the draft.
Yep.
Guys are starting to get bored. We're starting to drum up these kind of conversations for whatever reason. Stop. Kyle Hamilton is going to go in the top 10. He's not falling to Pittsburgh. Kudos to the Steelers for bringing him in and doing their due diligence on the guys that they want to scout and want to look at and all that other good stuff. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, so I like this from Phantom. The Steelers did move up to trade to get Troy Polamalu, which turned out to be the best move they might have ever made in their entire existence. At the same time, Minkah Fitzpatrick is supposed to be the next Troy Polamalu. Kyle Hamilton looks a little bit more like the next Troy Polamalu. I mean, even if you go and sign Minkah, by the time his extension is done, Kyle Hamilton needs a contract extension. So the numbers work out very well. Very well. How far? And I'm with you. Kyle Hamilton is a top 10 pick. In my opinion, he's the best player in this draft by a mile and a half. Mile ahead. And anybody who's like, Kyle Hamilton might slide to 20. Kyle Hamilton isn't as explosive and athletic as everybody believes he is. Shut up. Stop talking. Because you don't know what you're talking about. How far does he realistically have to slide before the Pittsburgh Steelers are like, nah, we got to start making phone calls?
I'd say like number 12. I think after pick 11, if for whatever reason he's there at number 12, I'd do it.
What do you have to give up for that? What are you going up to move up to get Washington's pick?
You're looking at probably similar compensation to what you gave up for whenever you moved up to go get Devin Bush with the Broncos a few years back.
Yep.
So if I remember, they got the number 10 overall pick. They gave up number 20 and then a third round pick.
Yep. Was a third round pick.
Yep.
And pretty much swapped third and fourth round picks. It was pretty bad. I mean, if that's the compensation for Kyle Hamilton,
I'm doing it.
Any day of the week. Day of the week. Easy. Now, that being said, every time anybody says anything about the Pittsburgh Steelers, pretty much all they're talking about is Tyrann Mathieu and Terrell Edmonds. According to Aditi Kinkabala, which everybody's going to have an opinion on whether or not you should believe her reports, doesn't matter. According to Aditi Kinkabala, the Pittsburgh Steelers have put an offer on the table for Edmonds. They're still waiting, but they are also on the hunt for Tyrann Mathieu. The dreams are not dead. Mathieu went and visited the Saints today. He left. There was no contract. We're still waiting on everything. What do you make of the most recent reports here? Because I'm done asking if Tyrann Mathieu's coming to Pittsburgh or if Terrell Edmonds is coming back to Pittsburgh. What do you make of the most recent reports from Aditi?
That I was right. Because last time we hopped on this podcast, I said that Terrell Edmonds probably got an offer from the Steelers. It was a little bit lower than his anticipated market value. He wanted to go test the waters. He didn't like what he was seeing in free agency. And now he's really trying to see on whether or not he should come back to Pittsburgh or if he should try to go somewhere else. Now, I do have a few notes and numbers I would like to share with you and all the other great people listening to All Steelers Talk right now. I do think he improved after each season. I think the best ability is availability. And that is something that Terrell Edmonds has provided over the course of his career in Pittsburgh. He's only missed one game in the years that he played with the Steelers. And that one game was the Cleveland game in 2020, where everybody and their mother was ruled inactive. So, like, realistically, he has missed a game, at least due to injury. Is it best for him to go back to a team, a scheme, and an environment that he's familiar with? Yeah. Or does he want a fresh start? Does he want to go somewhere else and try to establish himself as a safety that he believes he can be? I think that is the ultimate question that he himself is toying with right now. I think the Steelers threw the offer out there for him. I think they're smart enough to understand that they're only going to sign one or the other. It's basically down to Edmonds or the Honey Badger, or like if they don't get any by the NFL draft here in a couple of weeks, I feel like they're going to try to draft somebody super high. I think they're smart enough to hedge their bet. I think that's what the contract offer to Terrell Edmonds was if Tyrann Mathieu doesn't come. Because let's face it, like, who'd you rather have? It's a no-brainer. It's Tyrann Mathieu.
You're taking Tyrann
Mathieu. Every day that ends in a Y. But if Edmonds went back to Pittsburgh, I wouldn't be super upset. His average yards per completion over the course of the last few years has improved. It went from 13.4, 14.3, 14.5 to last season, cutting in half to 7.5 average yards per completion. I mean, night and day difference from the first 3 years he played. His average passer rating allowed when targeted a minimum of 25 attempts. This is all from Pro Football Reference, by the way. His passer ratings in his career was 83. It jumped up to 131.6 in the second year. It went back down to 70.8, and then last year it was 63.7, another career high for Terrell Edmonds. The only worrisome number that I really found whenever looking at his box scores, his missed tackle percentage, it went from 6 to 9.5 to 8.1 to 10.1 last season. But I think sometimes those numbers can like be subjective. You got to take it with a grain of salt. I think when you look at the overall picture, I do think he improved year after year. I think he feels that he should probably get paid for his improvement. And I think the Steelers are kind of sticking to their guns, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Look, if the Juju Smith-Schuster didn't get paid for his improvement, Terrell Edmonds is not getting paid for his improvement. And Terrell Edmonds' improvement is easily replaceable. That's the problem here. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't know what their offer on the table is, and I would imagine it's 2 years, a very low number. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're still thinking the NFL draft is where we find the future of our strong safety position. Because Trey Norwood is a true free safety, nickel, move-around chess piece guy. Carl Joseph is just a depth piece to have just in case you need him. Even if you do go re-sign Terrell Edmonds, and Miles Killebrew is just all special teams. So even if you do go re-sign Terrell Edmonds to a 1 or 2 year deal, you're still probably using a first 3-round draft pick on a safety and hoping that that safety becomes the long-term starter. And I also think that Terrell Edmonds kind of understands that. I think that he knows that if he could go somewhere else and click there, he has a better chance of getting a long-term deal, maybe the season after or 2 seasons after that. And I think that if he comes back to Pittsburgh, he has an understanding that I'm not the answer here long term. I'm just the solution right now. And I mean, even if it's a 2-year deal and they draft somebody, he is not guaranteed to start in 2023. That's very wide open. And I think he gets that, you know? So I think that also plays a role into it. But like you said, and you were right, Terrell Edmunds' offer is probably very low, very discouraging.
I think it's just the Steelers are using Terrell Edmunds as a safety net, and Terrell Edmunds is using the Steelers as a safety net. Like, it is what it is. I'm sure both parties would rather them kind of split their separate ways, but if need be, it's a relationship they know can work out. I think both understand that it's not going to be a long-term thing, like you pointed out. But, I mean, if you need to fill a roster spot, you need to fill, you know, another year of starting safety positions next to Minka. I don't think Edmunds would mind coming back, and I don't think the Steelers would mind Edmunds coming back, at least for next year.
No, definitely not. Now, what are the chances that that's actually going to happen? What are the chances? Two-part question here. What are the chances it's going to happen, and how late does this have to be pushed before it doesn't happen anymore? Do you think that the NFL draft is that timeline where it's just like, if we go past the NFL draft, Terrell Edmunds' time in Pittsburgh is over?
I do. I do. And like the NFL draft is essentially a graveyard if you're not a very top tier safety like Tyrann Mathieu. Like, I feel Tyrann Mathieu can probably wait until after the NFL draft and probably ink himself a pretty solid deal, because he knows, like, no matter like what fresh college kid just got drafted anywhere, teams are going to want to sign him. Terrell Edmunds is a completely different story. I think if the Steelers were to go into the NFL draft, and let's say like Honey Badger told him he either doesn't want to come to Pittsburgh, or like he's still kind of like waiting and like feeling himself out, and the Steelers emerge like with a safety in the first or like second or third round, whatever it might be, I think Edmunds isn't coming back, man. I really think if the Steelers, or Edmunds, excuse me, wants to return to Pittsburgh, it's got to happen before the draft. Because after that, it's a free-for-all, and that's a game that a guy the caliber of Terrell Edmunds' level does not want to play.
Nope, I totally agree. I look at Malik Hooker as a prime example last year. Didn't sign with the team until during training camp. Career as a starter basically ended. Now, he did play good minutes in Dallas, but that's all he is. He's just like that third piece in Dallas. Pittsburgh already has that third piece in Trey Norwood. They don't need a third piece. If a guy like Malik Hooker or Terrell Edmunds was available in training camp, if they had a starter that they feel good about enough, they do not care about that third piece because they already have it. So I think that Terrell Edmunds' time clock is ticking very, very quickly. That being said, I'm going to put out a little bit of a bold prediction here before we head out. I think by the next time, I take that back because we talk on Thursday. I think by next Tuesday, by the time we talk next Tuesday, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a safety inked to a deal. I'm not going to say if that's Terrell Edmunds. I'm not going to say if that's Tyrann Mathieu. Wink, wink. But I think that they have a safety inked to a deal. And that's my bold prediction here.
Do you think it's kind of boom or bust with either Mathieu or Edmunds? Like, do you think there's anybody else they would possibly look at? Or, like, is it basically narrowed down to just to those two?
I think it's got to be narrowed down to those two. Like, the whole KZ argument or rumors that were floating out there, my thoughts there is, why would you bring in another Terrell Edmunds caliber guy if you could just go get Terrell Edmunds, or you could draft somebody? And you're not totally sold on Terrell Edmunds caliber guy in Terrell Edmunds, you know? Why would you bring in that same level of talent to say, well, you know, we don't really want the original you, so we're going to get the you 2.0. That just doesn't make any sense. I think it is down to those two. Jaquan Brisker is a name that was tossed out in the comments. That, I think, is definitely a possibility. And the second, the Steelers did like him at their pro day, or at his pro day, I think that second round, I mean, Nick Cross out of Maryland is literally Mike Tomlin's son's roommate. There, like, that's a connection that Mike Tomlin is going to want to be like, well, you know, maybe in the third round he's available, and that's who it is. So I think that the options in the draft make it very slim that they're not going to go either a total splash in Tyrann Mathieu or super, super boring in Terrell Edmunds. But like I said, by next Tuesday, there will be a safety. All right, We're heading out of here. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Like this video. Be a friend. Tell a friend to go use our promo code for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. We'll see you Thursday. Peace.